Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
We take a break from Eagles drama for a moment and Heisman Trophy conversations and college football conversations to bring you this story, which is Caitlin Clark has won Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year. Now, Caitlin Clark's won a lot of things, and this is another, you know, prestigious award. And in it, she gives an interview to our pal Sean Gregory, and she basically head on, you know, talks about all the controversies that happened throughout her rookie season, or even going back to college, Perloff, and basically says, you know, downplays them all, throws cold water on as much, like owns that she knows that it's happening. She understands, you know, everything that's being said about her, says this is not what she's about, basically echoing things that she has said in the past. But when I'm reading this article, I'm thinking we're going to get a way different season two of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA than we did season one. I don't think every elbow is going to be leading Fox News and MSNBC. I don't think this is going to spill over into the political anymore. I think that was this sort of, it was like a phenomenon with her and Angel. And while they can still have a fun rivalry and a meaningful rivalry in the WNBA, I don't think we're living and dying with every Caitlin Clark elbow this year.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of heat. And I don't care about, like, the ancient networks. Like, social media, like, everything Caitlin does blows up. And it could be the basketball. It could be, like, you really think that Angel Reese is going to not say something or do something to get attention? Like, that's her jam. I mean, that sounds overly critical. But she is, like, unbelievably fascinating person.
Definitely.
She's very entertaining. Like, there's definitely going to be something, because you know that people are just, there's so many clicks that come out of anything Caitlin. Okay. And I don't know why that would go. I understand the politics stuff. Yes, that'll die down, but they'll find another way, because every editor knows if you put a story up about Caitlin Clark, you're going to get a million eyeballs.
Okay. But you know, Caitlin Clark was kind of interesting because it was almost a reverse engineer. The media, the mainstream media, we were not covering the WNBA or women's college basketball on the regular. This was us, quite frankly, responding to fans. You guys wanted it. You guys were driving it. And so we're like, all right, everyone wants to talk about the WNBA now and women's college hoops. Let's do it. It's not that we didn't want to. It's just we didn't realize you guys wanted to talk women's basketball this much. And so the fans really drove this, and Caitlin, in part, drove this a lot. So I think that people did want the basketball side of it because of the way that Caitlin was playing. And if she doesn't want to participate in this, then I don't know how it can continue to grow. Like, Caitlin herself doesn't want to be involved in these controversies.
Yeah, but I don't think she really wanted to be involved last year, and it still was super hot.
But she's never going to play into it. Like, you're saying, you know, yeah, Angel could have, like, you know, that she might say something, yeah, or you think Angel might do something to keep it going. I don't know if that's true. Angel did not give a comment to Time for this. But
I don't think Angel has any personal beef with Caitlin Clark, but something else could happen with Angel or another player. Like, I just think there's just still a lot of, I think there's tons of heat. I don't think it ever really had anything to do with Caitlin Clark playing into it. You know, there's just certain names that, like, think about Tim Tebow. Like, it wasn't just like 1 year where his name meant clicks. It was a decade. Think of the Cowboys. Think of T.O. Like, just certain names. I just don't think it dies that fast. The other thing, too, is, like, I'm telling you, people are smart. They know Time's not idiots. Of course you put Caitlin Clark on the cover, because people are going to buy that magazine. It might have been only a digital cover. But I would think Sports Illustrated is going to put Caitlin Clark as their sports person of the year, because they know it sells. She's just, I don't know what the word is, like a Q rating, like she's just popular. If somebody says Caitlin Clark, you stop and say, you listen. Same with Angel Reese. And they're both awesome at basketball. It helps a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think it's all part of the mix. I do think the basketball maybe becomes a bigger part of it, but I just think all the underlying stuff, like the Magic Bird, you know, some obviously racial undertones, like Magic Bird, like they became friends and it still was a great rivalry. It still was a huge deal.
But it was helping that they were playing each other in the NBA Finals. Like the basketball part of it had to become the main, like, I think it became the main thing, to
not
be
really.
Honest.
I don't think so.
But so here's the thing, though, about like Caitlin, as far as her crossover into the mainstream, let's not forget how quickly that stuff moves on. You know, sports, we kind of occupy the certain like sandbox of life that we really enjoy and we're privileged to do. But the news and the mainstream part of it, that's like whatever way the wind is blowing. Now you're talking about the guy who, you know, the fugitive who got caught at the McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania for shooting the UnitedHealthcare CEO, allegedly. Then you're on to another political race. Then we'll be on to the midterm elections. And, you know, the mainstream, that part of the media, the CNNs of the world or what have you, they are under a different calendar. They're under a different, they have a different agenda. Our agenda here in sports really is to talk about everything, but mostly the sports. And I think that's why the basketball is going to be the main thing with Caitlin, because I think the rest of the mainstream media is going to, frankly, I think they're going to move on a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like this is way too high. But like, she's got a little Taylor Swift in her. Like, I think there are a lot of young fans who are going to follow her and keep following. I don't think the heat's going to die down enough. I think there's just going to be a lot of people into her. And honestly, like, I'll bet your attendance is bananas next year.
Oh, it was this year.
That
part of it, I think, is gonna remain. I don't know.
I don't think there's
animosity between her and other WNBA players. Like, how often does she have to say it before people believe it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just like, I understand like the Fox News using her as a talking point, but I also think like if you put a Caitlin Clark layup on your Instagram feed, you're going to get, it goes crazy. Everybody sends it around. So I just think that the, forget like the networks, like the digital heat around her is still going to be there. I think she's going to be even a bigger deal next year. It builds, and I think it's building. Especially if that team gets good, especially if Angel Reese, like if she, what if they met in the finals? There's going to be like, you're right, this is partly basketball. As far as the politics of it, I don't think, you know, I don't remember Magic Bird what happened, but it was still, even after they personally ended their beef in 85, like everybody still viewed it as black versus white. Like America's going to do what it'll do regardless of what the actual actors involved want to do, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. I mean, people have their, you know, their agendas and what have you. Yeah. EJ, what do you think? Is it going to be more Caitlin controversy next year, or do you think she can tamper it down with the comments that she's giving here?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to come down to how the rest of the league kind of reacts, right? Because I think for a lot of folks who have been critical of Caitlin, I don't think no one can disagree or have beef with anything she said in terms of her critics who were saying, you should have said more, why aren't you being more forceful? I mean, she was very adamant about uplifting black women, saying there's no beef, saying she wasn't targeted. She really, and saying even the reporting, you know, there was the issue with the columnist, and they said how that was being covered was unfair and the questioning of my opponents was unfair. She went far. Now the question becomes, okay, what is the response from the rest of the league? Like, do we still have these people putting out tweets saying I'm getting death threats? Do we still have the folks saying, hey, there's an issue with this? I think that's really going to be the difference now. If I think the rest of the league can kind of take her lead with this and say that she now, this is as forceful she's been, and I think maybe she should have done this sooner, then maybe this can go away. But it's also going to be just like, also like Perloff said, like crazy fans are just going to be crazy fans, right? Like, the hope is that they kind of listen to her and say, if she's saying it, then maybe we need to put this down. And I don't know. I don't have much trust in people right now in terms of being able to do that. But that's going to be the key, I think. If the WNBA players can kind of follow her lead there, then I think this could become more of a basketball thing.
Can I ask a question that's probably a difficult question? Why does Angel Reese go in her comment section on Instagram?
why does anybody?
Yeah, I mean, like, she openly complains about it a lot. Like, I wonder, I'm almost like, well, put it away. Like, she should not, unless they're like real death threat, unless they're security reasons.
Well, she said she had people following her.
Yeah. But I don't think that's why she goes into her Instagram comments. I don't know, like, what part of her is her, like young athletes do this all the time. It's not just her. Like, don't engage with critics online.
Oh, young, older athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everyone's got to. It's really easier said than done. I mean, I guess for Angel, yes, she has to be on the lookout for real threats, because she did say people have come up to her on the street. I mean, it's
reached out to her family. She said, yeah,
it's spilled over into real life where this is getting scary. Someone else could also be monitoring that, you know? So it's like, hey, I'm on it. You know, security firms, the WNBA, heaven forbid, could do this also for their players. Like, hey, we're going to monitor to make sure no one's threatening women in our league. Might be not a terrible thing to ask for from the union.
I am very curious that, with Perloff's point, like, the Fever could be really good next year. Like, they made the playoffs this year. They had a really good second half. They rehired Stephanie White to be their head coach. She was one of the better head coaches in the WNBA, and of course she got fired by the Connecticut Sun, kind of a weird thing there. Maybe this is a team that's ascending. How does the fan reaction go to that? Like, if, let's say the Fever are a top 4 or 5 team in the WNBA, is it more of just like, okay, we're just talking about the basketball games? And does it become more of like, all right, how much is Caitlin winning, as opposed to like, how much is Caitlin being beat up? Like, I like this shift. You know, in America, we build people up to tear them down. And if she comes in next year with expectations, like, I'm wondering, like, what does that look like? What does a Caitlin Clark on a better team playoff run look like, especially if they fall? Like, okay, it's going to be way more interesting dynamics, hopefully beyond this crap we had in year one.
But here's the thing. The building up to tear down, or to have expectations, and then to, you know, say whether or not an athlete is living up to them or not living up to them, that's sports to me.
Yep.
Like, that's a, hey, you've arrived. Like, if we're going to talk about you like we talk about Aaron Rodgers joining the Jets and expectations, then that's awesome. I think that's a good place to be.
I'm just talking personally. I have a lot of people in my life who are not sports fans, who know all about Caitlin Clark, and they don't follow sports. You know, so I just don't. I think there's just a different thing with Caitlin Clark.
So it's more tribal, but it's just a tribe
I'm saying
of her.
Like, no, I'm saying, like, I just think there's a lot of heat around her. There are a lot of non-mainstream sports fans who really know a lot about Caitlin Clark. She's very fascinating to, I think, young women. Probably same with Angel Reese and a lot of WNBA stars. I just think there are a lot of Caitlin Clark fans. I don't think it becomes just about sports. I don't think it'll be a typical build them up, tear them down, because my 14-year-old kid knows all about Caitlin Clark, but has no idea who Patrick Mahomes is. So I just think that there's still a lot around her.
Should we be worried that your daughter's not listening to the show? Because if she doesn't know Mahomes, that means...
My kids hate sports. They're both like... One's like a violinist punk rocker. The other is a theater kid. They know all about what's playing on Broadway.
Wait, is this a rebuke of you?
Probably. But no, I actually, I don't know. I'm kind of proud of them for their complete indifference.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, we talk about this, right, with kids about what do they glean from their parents. Like, you know, Bogish isn't in here, but he will be next segment. And, like, his son is this massive sports fan, and they do all the sports stuff together, and your daughters couldn't care less.
No, they do not care.
Even though you've met every athlete on the planet.
Yeah, they do not care. Actually, once in a while, okay, couple years ago, we went to the Super Bowl. We interviewed all these A-list athletes. And then we interviewed one kid who was in Hamilton. What was his name?
He was in Transformers, Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
He was just into the Heights.
Anthony Ramos.
Oh, Anthony Ramos,
great.
Yeah. He was
what
just in Twisters.
Yeah.
He was in Twisters, and they were fascinated by that. They wanted every detail. Now, at Dan Patrick's show, we had a lot of celebrities and athletes. So try to guess my parents at DP show, the one interview they asked about the most. They still ask about it to this day.
I mean, Sandler was on so many times.
Yeah,
Will Ferrell was on.
You think Will Ferrell, big... vice presidents, like, huge... Honestly, at least 3 times a month, they asked about the Alex Trebek interview. They're like, so what was he like?
Is the mustache real?
Yeah. Because a big chunk of America sits at 7 o'clock and turn on Alex Trebek. So you never know. I think Caitlin Clark is still... It does it feel at all weird that she's on the cover of Time magazine? Of course not. She's a big national star. So I don't think it's ever going to become just sports. I think there'll always be more. Maybe it dies down, but she's so interesting to people for whatever reason. Because also, too, she's put this league on her back, her and Angel Reese to a large degree. Like, we haven't seen a league explode like this in forever. I think there's a lot going on here. I don't think it'll die down that much.
855-212-4227. We're predicting if Caitlin Clark's second season of the WNBA, is this going to be filled with all this controversy? And every time she gets, you know, an elbow or a forearm shiver or what have you in a game, is it going to become this like national event, which it did become last
year?
Yeah.
Or like Kennedy Carter, like saying that like people going to say stuff about her still.
Well,
that I think is really interesting. EJ kind of referenced that, like,
So there's another part of this, though, because like EJ, you made a good point. Are the other WNBA players going to just accept her a little bit more now? Not that they didn't, but how are they going to respond to her comments? Basically, you know, kind of owning everything. Like, I realize that, you know,
She called herself a controversial figure. Even
like my race plays a role in some privilege. Like, I'd like to think that I earned everything, but I'm not naive. I understand that, you know, I get some. Better treatment, more opportunities or things like that. She did a great job. This league was already great, and I want to be a big part of it. All that stuff, she handled it great.
Right.
How do other women respond to her? Because there's another part of this too, and it's very, very of the now, which is there's also like value in being the foil. And I don't think that Kennedy Carter was specifically trying to be the foil or Angel, like, you know, their rivalry. But there also was a value in having a foil.
Definitely.
No, for Caitlin, yeah, you need a foil.
Right. And so Angel is that, but there could be other women in the WNBA who think, I can also be the foil. It doesn't just have to be Angel and Caitlin, like woman versus woman. It could be me.
Oh, somebody else could.
Exactly.
Could
because
take their shot.
Even Caitlin said, and Perloff, you say this all the time about how funny their rivalry was considering they never guard each other.
Yeah, it's not a real rivalry. I think Caitlin talked about that
in
the
Time
article. What was the guy who tried to get under Michael Jordan's skin and become the Jordan stopper on Washington?
From The Last Dance. What was that? Rolando. What was his name? Not Rolando.
Anyway, yeah, like I think people tried to step up to be the Jordan foil, and that didn't work out so well. Well,
that guy, all he said was, good game, Mike.
Oh, God, Lowell, not Lowell Hamilton from Illinois. What was this guy's name?
They used to call Gerald Woodkins the Jordan stopper. That didn't
No, the guy from Washington who said, good game, Mike, and then Michael Jordan like just took it out on him.
Oh, was it? No, it wasn't Brian Russell.
No. It was someone.
LeBradford. I can't bring it. LeBradford Smith. So
LeBradford Smith.
I just love. So what you actually hinted was a good idea. Somebody at WNBA is going to take their shot at Caitlin because they know it'll get them endorsements.
Well, I don't know if it's endorsements, but
it'll get them 100 million Instagram followers.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Sorry, just a quick tangent. Did you guys see Neil Brennan, the comedian? He was a writer on Chappelle's Show, all that stuff. He has a funny line about Michael Jordan where he said, you know, Michael Jordan, he has a funny line about athletes. Everyone wants to have good mental health and we should hope for all good mental health except for athletes because we watched a 10-part documentary about Michael Jordan. He goes, Michael Jordan, basketball was his hobby, but his passion was revenge.
Facts.
It's like, God, he nailed it. He goes, you want someone in sports that has good mental health is called an assistant coach. Small tangent. Dennis is in Michigan. Dennis, you want to weigh on Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, I do. You guys may not remember this, but back in the 80s, of course, there was the Magic Bird thing, but there was also Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons fighting against the Celtics, and Dennis Rodman came in and said something about nobody would pay attention to Bird if he were a black player.
Yeah.
And there was a huge controversy about it. Well, then Larry Bird goes in front of the mic and said, hey, if I'm not concerned about this, nobody else should be concerned. And most people don't even remember that it even happened.
Oh, so I don't know about that.
I'm not to the point that other things, you know. So I just think that the way that Caitlin Clark has handled herself can be the way that Larry Bird handled himself, and it won't become as big as maybe what we think it will be. There will always be something, but I don't think it'll be maybe as big as we think.
Yeah, Dennis, you know what's funny about that? Thank you for the call. It's also interesting because Dennis Rodman made those comments, but Dennis Rodman went on to be one of the craziest people we have in sports history. You think of Dennis Rodman, 40 other things would come to mind first before you'd get to this. Like the dyed hair, marrying Carmen Electra, the wedding dress, going to North Korea.
Definitely.
The championships, obviously, the Hall of Fame. leaving the Bulls to go to Vegas for a bender in the middle of the playoffs?
Yeah, in some ways it lives more with Isaiah than Robin. Robin's the one who made the comments. Isaiah was kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess he makes a good point. And then,
I was just watching a documentary. I don't remember. There's a documentary on this, and they actually called a midday press conference where Larry and Isaiah had to come together. Imagine in the social media era, if that press conference happened, they would cut into the news. Like, it was just a long time ago. It was, what, 80, 87, 88? Anyway, that's pretty crazy that they made Larry and Isaiah sit there and talk about that. That is a...
Because they were playing.
Yeah, I know, playoffs, but right? like to sit and address this comment that someone said you're only good, you're not that good, you're white, that's an awkward press conference. I can't believe, and Larry Bird didn't even like talking in the press already. Like, how they convinced him to actually step out there? I think the commissioner got involved.
You just gave me an idea for a future great debate. Today's great debate, by the way, which happens every Wednesday on the show, is what's the biggest Heisman Trophy snub of all time? Future great debate, the most awkward sports press conferences of all time. I've got 14 that come to mind.
Dwight Howard, Stan Van Gundy.
Say Mike Piazza had a golf press conference.
That was weird.
To tell people he's straight. That was such an odd thing. We should do this one day. Go back to our great debate, of course. The biggest Heisman Trophy snubs of all time. 855-212-4227. Don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Can I take a small, small left turn?
Sure.
Back to a topic we were talking about earlier today. I see it on the rundown. I was just reading Jalen Hurts' game logs.
For fun?
Eagles quarterback. He threw the ball 34 times first game, 30 times the second game, 38, then 30. They're 2-2. He hasn't come close to throwing the ball 30 times again in a game. So the Eagles front office / coach said, this guy's not that great a quarterback. We're going to run it every single play from here on out for the rest of the season. That is the reason that A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts are fighting. A.J. Brown is mad because he's not getting passes because the Eagles do not think their quarterback is that good and therefore have gone to a different style. So at the end of the day, and it's working. So why should I be worried? This is not Jalen Hurts' fault. He's just not that good. This is not A.J. Brown's fault. This is a new style of football. And because the wide receiver's unhappy because they came a running team, that is not the travesty that everyone is making out on. Because I just have a bunch of... The reason I bring this up is my text thread is blowing up because I guess somebody on Fox said that the Eagles should bench Jalen Hurts. Like, this is getting crazy.
Hold on. You're saying you don't have a problem because the only reason why any of this controversy is happening in Philadelphia between the wide receiver and the quarterback is because the quarterback's not good.
Right, so they won't throw it to their top receiver anymore, so
that
he's not getting any targets.
You have way more problems. If you're supposed to be a Super Bowl contender, your defense might be good. They're not that good to win with a bad quarterback. If you think you have problems with Jalen Hurts, then you got bigger problems than you could have ever anticipated. You need Jalen Hurts to be awesome to win the Super Bowl. You came within an eyelash, and he could have been MVP except for a sack fumble that went the other, or was it a pick six, whatever it was in the Super Bowl, and you lost. He played great in that game. You need him to be awesome to win the whole thing.
But much like your Bills, this team is transformed by cutting 40% of their passes out and going to the run. They've just changed everything. Like, they are so much a better team when the run-pass balance is different.
Okay, well, then here's another criticism I have for the Eagles. If you are going to make this big pivot, to be a Saquon Barkley-led team, then why doesn't someone go to A.J. Brown and say, listen, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to win games. Again, I can criticize the communication here because he's going to stand up there after a win and say the passing game is broken, and then Brandon Graham is going to come out on radio and say that there's a personal beef between him and Jalen Hurts. Like, if it's all just explained away by football strategy, then you don't think A.J. Brown would understand that if they came to him and said, listen, we've got to go to the ground game here.
I don't know. In the middle of the season, the coaches are busy. They're going to go pull aside. Listen, Mr. Wide Receiver, like, you're not going to get as many targets. Like, that's not how a team works, right? Aren't they busy game planning and stuff?
Mr. Wide Receiver.
Yeah, in the middle of the season, pull them aside, and they're not going to explain to any of the players.
Don't they have meetings all day? Aren't they in the facility all day?
Like, I know that sounds good in theory, but in reality, you really think Nick Sirianni is going to pull A.J. Brown aside and say, we have this new philosophy I'm sorry, maybe. And even so, A.J. Brown's a wide receiver. They don't care about anybody except themselves. That's what wide receivers do. And you need them to be like that.
Okay.
You need them to want the ball every play. So this is all very natural.
And the coach also needs to manage the egos. 855-212-4227, which I don't think is happening. Great debate today. The greatest and biggest Heisman snub of all time. Around the horn, I went with Jim Brown. Perloff went with?
Vince Young.
EJ?
Adrian Peterson.
Bogish?
Tommy Frazier.
And Manny?
Peyton Manning.
So there's only four slots available because Elon Musk is hamstringing us on Twitter. Jim Brown, Vince Young, Tommy Frazier, Peyton Manning, EJ, sacrificing Adrian Peterson in this one. Manny, Peyton Manning is winning. Manny, not old enough to remember Peyton Manning in college. Read about it in a history book.
That almost shouldn't be allowed that he wins this.
It's all right. It's okay. Sean is in Oregon. He's got a problem with this year's Heisman race. What is it, Sean?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times we're splitting hairs, you know, with these guys. There's a lot of guys out there. It's a popularity contest. And I think that Colorado's real popular. I think Deion Sanders is real popular. And I hear him lobbying for Travis Hunter all the time. You know, but there's a guy there, Ashton Gentry, just out there in the middle of nowhere in a place where most of your listeners can't point it out on the map. This is kind of reminiscent of Marshall Faulk at San Diego State. And if you look at Ashton Gentry, you know, he's 2,500 yards, 29 touchdowns. He's averaging over 7 yards a carry, you guys. And this is the very best year that Boise State's ever had in their school history. And nobody else can probably even name another player on that team, including their coach.
Listen, Sean, I first of all resent that fact. We're on in Boise, and we love our listeners in Boise. But here's the thing. You're saying that he's being skipped over. He has a great case for the Heisman. So does Travis Hunter. And Ashton Gentry is going to be in New York. So he's not getting – and I know Marshall Faulk came in second. I get that. But he is being acknowledged by being a finalist, right? He's not being completely ignored here.
Yeah, he's going to come in second.
I mean, you know, you guys probably haven't even watched an entire game. I know you guys out there, you guys talk about you don't watch West Coast games. You still don't. You guys don't stay up that late. You guys aren't even having enough time in the day.
On a Friday night, which is when Boise played most of their games, it felt like this year, we absolutely watch Boise State. And believe me, we've asked Spencer Danielson to come on the show. So, Sean, nothing personal with us. We love Boise. Boise's been a big part of this time slot for a long time. Even go back to the DA show. Bogish knows about that.
I think, totally. I think it's a great style debate, too. Do you take, like, this superstar all-time running back, or do you take this unique two-way player? I think, at the end of the day, the uniqueness of Travis Hunter outweighs Ashton Gentry's just awesomeness. Because as good as he is, he's reminiscent of Marshall Faulk, Barry Sanders. Like, we've seen Ashton Gentry before. We really haven't seen Travis Hunter. I think that is what Sean might not be accounting enough for. Because I do think, like, Ashton Gentry's going to come in second. So that's not like people are ignoring him.
Well, the other part, too, is it's not just Deion who's pushing Travis Hunter here. Every college football pundit, media person, Jim Nagy, our pal who runs the Senior Bowl, if you ask any football mind, they'll tell you how great Travis Hunter is. They'll say he's the best player in college football. It's not just Deion's, you know, out here stumping for Travis Henry.
Yeah. But if he didn't play for Deion, then it might be different, though. That's definitely true.
I don't know.
You think if Ashton Gentry was at Colorado and Deion and Mel Tucker was the coach, it'd be as easy? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, but he has the facts. Like, he is averaging 7 yards a carry. He does have, he's closing in.
No, I'm saying, like, would Travis Hunter be as big a deal if he was at Colorado and Deion Sanders was coach of Florida State? I mean, not as if,
I kind of,
it's a tough
do.
Question. Yeah.
If I said Travis Henry, haha.
No, I don't think he would be. I think it'd be a little different. I mean, he might win the Heisman, but he definitely, his star power would be down if he wasn't connected to Deion. And he wouldn't be at Colorado if it wasn't for Deion. He'd be wherever Deion was.
I was going to say, if he wasn't connected to Deion, he'd probably be at Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah.
He's definitely not playing two ways there.
I was going to say, and maybe only playing one way, right? Like, I mean, Deion probably does get credit for being open to the idea of him playing on both sides.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches might have just been like, no, that doesn't, we don't do that. Like, pick one.
That's true, but I don't think it's just Deion who's out there stumping for him. It's he has other defenders and people who are pushing him to the front.
Well, I think Sean said he's super famous because of his connection to Deion. I think that's it. But there is a little bit to that. But like, I agree with you. Like, his football is there's nothing you can say. It's awesome.
Bogish has headlines for us. Hi.
These headlines are sponsored by PXG Golf for high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more. Make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com. So I want to say today's poll question should be, what's better, a 12-team college football bracket or an 8-team NBA bracket? Who would pick college football? The NBA Cup Elite Eight began last night.
Caruso fights for the miss, tips the ball to Joe, leaps and leans for three straight away. Got it! Cha-ching, Thunder, money ball, up the buzzer, baby! Isaiah Joe, Zay with the tray, ring it up. Thunder 90, the Mavericks 73 at the horn.
Isaiah Joe is made for this. Matt Pinto, Thunder Radio. OKC outscored Dallas by 14 in the third to take control of their quarterfinal. They won it 118-104 with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 39. Giannis had 37 as the Bucks fought off the Magic 114-109 in Milwaukee. The Knicks and Hawks, Warriors and Rockets decide the other spots in Vegas tonight. Steve Kerr breaks it down perfectly.
This cup is really an interesting addition, you know, to the season. Our guys are excited. I think in year two, it feels like there's a little more momentum than last year. People know what it is, obviously.
What a commercial. We now know what it is.
Yeah. He sounds so bored just saying that.
The NFL just officially announced the first ever regular season game in Berlin next fall. Just the facts this time. Joe Burrow's home apparently burglarized while he was in Dallas for Monday Night Football. A 22-year-old woman called police Monday evening when entering the house and finding a broken window and ransacked bedroom. There's been no comment from Burrow or the Bengals yet. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, victims of break-ins earlier this season while playing for the Chiefs.
Did you see also no fingerprints? They got nothing.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wearing gloves?
Yeah. They are just like, apparently, they showed some skill.
And we should point out, or I should point out, that the original Burrow girlfriend might not have been his girlfriend for months now.
Right.
So the salacious side of the story probably is losing steam by the minute.
Right. The fact that Joe Burrow may have been stepping out on a long-term girlfriend may not have been the case and throws a lot of cold water on EJ's theory of him dating two women named Olivia
for convenience.
To make his life easier.
Yeah, he was seen with this woman, Olivia Ponton, at the Fashion Week when he had the hole in the back of his suit. So they've been dating maybe for 6 months. But I told Maggie something interesting. He's also been linked to this OnlyFans woman named Baby Doll. Didn't see that one coming, did
Who
you?
Hasn't?
No. So we're going in a different direction.
He's been linked to this influencer and to an OnlyFans star. But I don't know. Is OnlyFans
and
you have to be an adult star? Can you be OnlyFans and not keep your clothes on?
Anybody can be an OnlyFans. You could just do whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if that sounds bad, but maybe it's just another influencer.
What do you think she's doing on that channel?
I think she's more on the, yeah.
Well, I think women do things that, like, you could probably put your feet on OnlyFans, Maggie, and you'd be an OnlyFans star.
I know, but I don't think the camera's wide enough to get my plank feet.
God, if I had a body part anyone would want to see.
You guys forget, I'm walking around on skis here.
Well, we'll just take it from a distance. If you back the camera
panoramic.
Up. Yeah, we can get both feet in
whatever
at some
they
point.
Shoot the Grand Canyon with. That's what they need for my feet. We've talked about this before.
That's how we get our Christmas bonuses.
My feet page. Listen, if anyone's into, what's it, the big and tall store, but it's more for feet.
What, I told you. Long and wide? What are you talking about?
I have
about?
Great balance. Because my feet
are. Believe it.
Windy day in New York coming up here today, so you'll be safe.
Yeah. I can just walk.
Hold on to Maggie.
I walk down double black diamonds. Just doop, doop.
let me introduce us now to Ohio State Rep Josh Williams. He's apparently introducing legislation that would make it a felony to plant a flag at midfield of the shoe. That'll definitely teach those Wolverines.
A
That's
felony, huh?
Yeah, felony.
Oh, wow.
Not, hey, Ryan Day beat Michigan. Let's plan for the next time somebody else wins here and plants a flag that they go to jail.
I know nothing about this guy's platform other than this. Vote this man out of office immediately. Well, he can say free ice cream for everybody. I still say vote him out.
Also, I mean, a little late to the party. Where was he when Baker Mayfield did this, pulled the shenanigans back in 2018?
Right, exactly.
Where was your energy? Well, maybe he wasn't in office, but still, where was your letter writing campaign? Now you're just Mr. Johnny Come Lately on this trying to bandwagon.
Another do nothing politician.
I'm just curious, like misdemeanor, maybe felony seems a bit strong. So you're like, does he have to register when he comes into the game as a flag offender?
He can't play.
So tell his neighbors.
Yeah, I can't vote.
I tell the referee.
Or it's just like there's like a 30 for 30 later and he's walking in with an orange jumpsuit.
You know how hard it would be for somebody from Michigan to be actually arrested for planting a flag? They would be a hero in Michigan. Are you kidding me?
Extradited to Michigan.
those freaking mugshot pictures of that, whoever this person is, like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You'd make this guy an icon.
It's so dumb. This is, politicians, stay out of our sports. Back to you.
Not only that, I mean, show a little confidence in your Buckeyes. Basically, is he thinking that this is going to continue?
Yeah.
That's not good for Ryan Day, that the politicians are already planning for you to lose to Michigan next year. Or 2 years from
two
now.
2 years, right? Yeah. Oof. 8 years, $218 million. That's how the Yankees land former Braves lefty Max Fried. The Nationals won the draft lottery yesterday. They'll pick first for the first time since taking Bryce Harper, but there is no one like that in this draft. The LA Kings on a six-game win streak after a 3-1 victory at the Islanders, and the Oilers have won 6-7 after a 2-1 victory over the Lightning. Last thing for me, something special for the two of you specifically, the New York Red Bulls of MLS just announcing a naming rights deal with Sports Illustrated Ticketing, so the jersey venue will be called Sports Illustrated Stadium for the next 13 years.
No way.
100%.
That's great. Listen, Perloff and I, by Bogish, said that's close to us. We both worked at Sports Illustrated. It's where we met several years ago and became friends. But SI should have been pimping their name out long before this. I think they could have had a swimsuit line. They could have had all these things. I loved working there and it was great. But I think they could have added more to the brand.
Yeah. Naming a stadium? No comment.
That's not embarrassing.
I don't know. No, it's not embarrassing at all, but it's a little too late.
Oh, well, okay, maybe I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I just, right now, I have not a great opinion of that brand. That's all I'll say.
Imagine, though, in the heyday, not the heyday of, like, the 60s, 70s. I'm talking about, like, in the 2000s, even.
Well, right, but they used to be journalists where, like, they couldn't put their name on a stadium because they had to cover this stadium.
I'm going to be honest. I went to many a Sports Illustrated party before I worked for Sports Illustrated and while I did, and what's the difference? They put their name all over Super Bowl parties and stuff like that.
Right, but it's supposed to be neutral. Like, they're not picking one side or the other.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, now they'd be Red Bull supporters?
Yeah. I hope. I mean, they named the stadium after them. Like, how... Yeah,
I obviously. Guess I never thought of that. I never thought that the company Staples was all rooting for the Lakers or the Clippers. I just assumed they just wanted their name on a stadium.
Well, I guess, not to overthink this, that Staples is not Sports Illustrated. They have different business standards. Like, it's okay if Staples owns their own, because who cares if they're compromised?
They provide paper to the Clippers and the Blazers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, SI, obviously, like, they used to be about, like, a lot of reporting and stuff. Now, I don't think that's really their jam anymore.
Mm. I thought they could have been sports camps and stuff like that. Like, I went to Nike tennis camps. I could have been going to a Sports Illustrated tennis camp. No?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, yeah, like, no, this definitely. Is, like, this is the home of, like, Frank DeFord. And, like, the great Sports Illustrated stuff was not, hey, you know, let's write this amazing story, not let's sponsor a tennis camp.
Hey, listen, revenue streams. Got to diversify. 855-212-4227. Bokes, thanks a lot. Coming up, lots more to do, including checking in with the most interesting man in sports. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so this would be an all-time moment, even for LeBron James. And I know a lot of football's happening, but we got to pause for a second to talk about LeBron, because the Lakers season got off to a pretty good start. Seems like J.J. Redick was going to be a good hire. And then lately, Perloff, things have just kind of fallen off the rails. They've really come back to the middle of the pack. you know, it's early in the season, but it just doesn't feel like things are gelling together or coming together in a really good way. So here's Kendrick Perkins, who is on ESPN, saying the Lakers are open to trading LeBron James.
I'm going to tell you this. And Brian Windhorst was on, Wendy, my guy, was on that segment, and he was talking about telling Wilborn how hard it was and what it is. Okay? Now, my sources tell me that if LeBron James at any point comes out and says that he wants to be traded or he wants to entertain it,
they move it,
that they're going to entertain it.
Okay, so this was a response to Michael Wilbon saying that he thinks LeBron should go to the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. Now, here's more from Kendrick Perkins talking about last season, if you remember. At the trade deadline, the Warriors called the Lakers to inquire about LeBron's availability, and Rich Paul, his agent, nipped it in the bud. So what
happened this year? It ain't no holding him back. Meaning, last year? Okay, so last year, Rich Paul stopped it. Let's remember now what ended up happening when Golden State called asking about LeBron. Rich Paul, his agent, silenced all that.
Yes.
If LeBron and they get to this conversation again, I'm hearing Rich Paul ain't getting it.
Well, we knew.
Okay, so an all-time LeBron move, if he re-signs with the Lakers, has them draft his son, hires a podcast partner in J.J. Redick, and then a couple months later is like, actually, I'm out.
But that'd be amazing. But I don't understand, like, what are the Warriors giving up for LeBron? Like, what are the Lakers getting out of this? Like, is it just a favor? Like, there's no way they're giving up a good player for LeBron, like a foundational piece. They're not giving up Jonathan Kuminga for LeBron, are they?
I don't think so.
Definitely.
You think so?
I think at this point, I mean, would it be silly? I don't know if it'd be silly. I think LeBron still has a lot left in the tank, but I think definitely they're getting LeBron out of there. Steph Curry saying, young man, someone's got to be like you. That it's that scene in the Dark Knight when the guy's like, somebody has to be left in the record when Bane says that.
I mean, Jonathan
Kuminga. Look, Steph Curry's like 38. Kuminga is a young man to him. Somebody's gonna be left in the record. It's gonna be one of these young guys.
By the way, I'm sorry, Prof. If LeBron James goes to the Golden State Warriors, this thing has been in the works since Paris. They were all together at the Olympics, no doubt.
I just hear you. I don't understand, like, why are the Lakers? Like, how are the as you mentioned, they drafted his son. They signed his coach. Like, why would they agree to trade him? Like, just because he wants to?
I don't know. I mean, maybe because LeBron's shadow runs the Lakers. Maybe because the Lakers are overly bent over backwards for their stars to make sure they keep good relationships with them.
But the question is, why would they have considered it last year?
I think they thought they maybe had a chance last year. I don't know. Not a chance at the title, but a chance to be a playoff team. I mean, they were trying to manipulate where they were in the play-in tournament to try to get the more favorable draw. That backfired. Ray, you've got a Laker sweatshirt on today. Yeah. LeBron James in or out?
He's in. He's just doing what he usually does mid-season to get us to talk about him. I want to be traded. No, I want to stay. I love the Lakers. Then he'll go in the crowd and hug Jeannie Buss again, and it'll be National Women's Day again, and we'll be back here again. We all fall for the banana in the tailpipe every time with the king. This is just the latest episode.
And it's the best explanation I've heard. LeBron trying to get a little, just get in the news.
Ray, if they called up, you run the Lakers, they offer Jonathan Kuminga for LeBron and Bronny. Are you doing it?
Jonathan Kuminga, as long as they promise to not send Bronny back, we can take the deal.
So actually,
Bronny, no thanks.
Would you give up LeBron just to get rid of Bronny?
Absolutely.
Oh man, Bronny takes the shrapnel.
Now wasn't it? And now my memory is failing me, but I know Bronny worked out with the Suns. The Warriors didn't they want him to work out with them? And Rich Paul also kiboshed that too, I believe.
I don't remember, but I thought the Suns felt like a favor. They were trying to also hit everything that was close to L.A.
Well, there was a report, by the way, that Anthony Irwin, who we've had on Lakers reporter, said that Bronny and LeBron are a package deal. Like, they're not going to leave Bronny behind because that'd be bad. Like, he'd be sitting there on the bench and everybody would be staring at him like, oh. Can you imagine Bronny sitting there in a Lakers uniform while LeBron's not there?
No, and this was my fear for Bronny once LeBron retires.
Yeah.
Now what?
G League, baby.
I mean, he's going to do that. I think he'll probably just say, all right, it's been real, everybody.
Put the fries in the bag, Bronny.
This all sounded like a joke to me. Like, this is no way this is happening. You're right. LeBron just, but man, if they're really offering a Jonathan Kuminga for LeBron, good riddance, like immediately.
The Lakers have to take it.
The Lakers, like, that's a good player. Like, you're right. This, you started off, the Lakers aren't going anywhere as currently constituted.
That ship sailed. Sorry, Ray, a while ago. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Ray Jarvis, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, David Sampson, former president of the Marlins who joined us, the Weedos, the coffee drinkers. You know who you are. Back tomorrow with a fun show for you. Don't miss it. MVP.